Welcome back to part two of Religion Matters. This is Brenda Dunn with you until 9 o'clock this morning. I hope that you and yours are well. And if you want to get in touch, it's religionmatterskfm@gmail.com. Now, I'm delighted to welcome a local lady, Julianne Moore, in studio this morning. She's from Newbridge in County Kildare, and she has just been appointed to a very important role with Missionary Children. She is the new National Secretary of Missionary Children. Julianne, you're very welcome down the road from Newbridge to us here in KFM.
Thanks ever so much, Brenda, and thanks for having me.
Not at all. Tell us a little bit about I'll come back to you about your own role, but what exactly or who are Missionary Children Ireland?
Okay, the Society of Missionary Children is actually one of four societies that's within World Missions Ireland. Some people might be familiar with World Missions Ireland, and the Society of Missionary Children itself is actually the world's oldest and potentially largest children's charity. I don't know if a lot of people will know the society by its official name, but they might actually remember in their school days going to school and bringing in a penny for the black babies. That was the Society of Missionary Children, but a lot of people know us and remember us fondly that way. But its official title is actually the Society of Missionary Children, and its motto is Children Helping Children. So we are best known, I think, by its motto rather than its official title.
Yeah. And tell us about some of the work that the organisation does.
The organisation, the society itself, has two main things that it works on. One is prayer and the other is share. And they're very simple, really. And our founder, Bishop Charles de Forbin Johnson, had that in mind when he was setting up the charity. It was to ask children in Europe, particularly, to pray for children in the rest of the world, and also to share whatever they have, no matter how small, with a child that needed it more somewhere else in the world. So those were the founding principles of Children Helping Children.
It's a lovely principle, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
And it's kind of this, I suppose it feeds into this modern notion and this kind of popular, you see it every so often on social media, like pay it forward, and kids giving some of their confirmation money or their communion money over to charities in Ireland or to Throwcro or that sort of thing.
That's it. And I think what perhaps Bishop Charles recognised is that there's something very natural in children to be open and generous and actually quite thoughtful and spiritual. And I think he recognised that he was on mission in China at the time and was overwhelmed with the poverty and what was happening to children there. And it was just a very simplistic thing for him that he saw immediately, that whilst adults were helping adults on mission abroad, it was just so natural and ordinary to say children could do the same thing for other children around the world. And that's something that I see even in the work I'm doing, the schools I'm visiting right now, to see that children are generous, open-hearted, thoughtful, spiritual and so giving.
They have an inbuilt, I think, awareness for social justice and kind of equality that even without maybe being able to put words on it from a very
young
age.
Completely, yeah. Always thinking outward, I think, rather than inward, which is lovely.
Yeah. And your own work now as National Secretary, it's a pretty important role. And how long are you there? You're very recent appointment, isn't
very
it?
Very recent. Yeah. Started in May, so still finding my feet and still trying to get to grips with all of the new faces and all of the different aspects of the work now. My previous work, I suppose, was a lot of time in parishes, and now my new role is very much going to be housed around visiting schools, anywhere where there's children. So yes, still in parishes as well, but visiting mostly schools. And I think we have about maybe 1,500 schools on our membership list, so I won't be getting around them all this year.
Are they primary schools or are they secondary as well?
Primary and some secondaries. Missionary Children has a kind of a membership age group of aged 4 to 14. So mostly primary schools, but some secondary schools, and hopefully some parishes as well, because obviously we have some parish groups that are working very much with children, and we're trying to get involved there as well.
And what sort of things do you do with the schools?
There's three things that I see very much that are part and parcel of the work that we do with schools. One is growing awareness, the greater awareness that we can have of the society and of the actual plight of children in the rest of the world. So that's the first aspect of it, is going to visit schools to just grow that awareness, to share some of the stories with the children in the schools as what it's like to be a child in Africa, a child in Asia, a child in the Americas. And the more we can grow that awareness, the more we can get the second part. The second part is the participation. And that participation is the twofold part. We're looking for participation from children through prayer and through material donation. And our national director, actually, Father Maurice Hogan, is very astute in this regard. He sees it that the prayerful part of the participation is as important as the donation part, the material part. You know, again, it's to be able to, I think the founder, Bishop Charles, saw that again, that there's a twofold benefit in the prayerful part. The children in the developing world get to know that they're being prayed for, that they're being valued, that they're being remembered. And the children in the developed world that's doing the praying, it enables them to develop that Christian virtue that's charity and prayerfulness. So there's a twofold benefit there for the children. So that's the second aspect, is the prayerfulness part of the work. And the third part then is the donation, no matter how small. My colleague Sally is always reminding me that money in Ireland is very elastic somewhere else. So if a child in Ireland donates 20 cent, that 20 cent might buy a lollipop here in Ireland for a child, but it'll buy five children's meals for the complete day in Africa.
Yeah.
So 20 cent here is a lollipop, 20 cent in Africa, dinners for five children for the whole day. It's just extraordinary in those terms.
That's an interesting term when you say it's elastic when it's applied overseas. I remember when I was in, I think it was second, third and fourth class, and we were always given these books, little books, very short books, and you were encouraged to read about children your own age somewhere else in the world. Yeah. So I remember reading about kids in Africa, in Kiev, in Trinidad. I think there's a natural fascination within children to learn about what's happening to kids their own age elsewhere in the world as well.
Most definitely. And that's one of the things that we insist upon. So what happens is when money is donated at all by any child anywhere in Ireland, one of the principles that we stand to is that every cent donated by a child in Ireland goes to a child somewhere else in the world. I'm in a lucky position that the administrative costs and salaries and anything like that come from other benefactors and other donations. But when a child donates to the Society of Missionary Children, it goes to a child somewhere else. And wherever it goes, the missionary that's in that location, be it in Africa, Asia, the Americas, even in Europe, they send us back photographs, reports, they show us how that money is being spent. And categorically, I can say our missionaries that are lay, religious and ordained value that donation in such a way that they ensure that every cent is spent in a way that expands the work that they can do.
I'm glad you've said that this morning, because I'm sure it's not easy to be working in the charitable or NGO sector with all of the, I suppose, the bad press for the charity sector in the past couple of weeks. So it's good to know that when a child in a school gives a cent or 50 cent or whatever, that it goes directly to benefit someone maybe their own age somewhere somewhere else.
Yes, because it is difficult at the moment. And
it is,
you know, and we're so appreciative of all those that are donating at the moment, and we wouldn't like to see the current situation affecting not only our own charities but other charities as well.
Are you looking forward at some point to maybe getting to visit some of the projects that you're helping overseas? Will that be something that will happen for you in your new role eventually?
Definitely, that's something that will be happening. I'm quite envious of my colleague Sally, who had an opportunity. Envy maybe might not be the right word.
I know what you mean, though. Yes,
very sad as well. Yeah. But Sally had an opportunity last year to go visit children in South Korea and in the Philippines, and previously in Malawi and other locations. And the stories that Sally and my predecessor Jackie brought back from those locations are quite harrowing. But there's good news stories there as well, because they've met with missionaries, Irish missionaries and others, that are working with children in those locations, doing extraordinary good work. I mean, one of the ones that comes to mind to me immediately are the children that are living in the cemetery in Manila, Pagate Cemetery. And to even say that somebody is having to live in a place where that the dead are the only acceptable neighbours is just an extraordinary image to even hold in your mind. And while Sally and Jackie were there, they had an opportunity to meet with and work with two other missionary sisters, Columban sisters from Korea, Sister Julie and Sister Bella. And they are working with the children in that cemetery to introduce feeding programmes, hygiene programmes, literacy programmes. And they are working away in the worst of conditions, providing a very small centre, the Mosaic Centre it's called, in the cemetery in Manila, to just give children some hope. And I was reading through one of the reports, and Sister Julie and Sister Bella said, when they talk to the children about God, the children in this cemetery see God as the colour yellow, because yellow is the colour of hope there. So there are some good news stories as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm looking forward to hopefully being in a situation to go out, see firsthand, and bring those stories back to the children here in Ireland.
I've often wondered, when you read about religious sisters and missionaries, lay missionaries, brothers, helping communities that are in living in abject poverty, how do they support themselves? How do they live? And where do they live? Do they live apart, or how do they kind of, is there any separation between what they do day to day and how they live when it comes to 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock?
I don't think there's any separation for those missionaries at all. I think they're living out completely and utterly what it means to be not just a missionary, but to be a Christian. Interestingly, this year for Mission Month, the theme for Mission Month is Every Christian is a Missionary. And within that, I see the work that the likes of Sister Bella, Sister Julie, and there's others like Father Shea Cullen in the Philippines, and their sister Evelyn Flanagan as well. You know, some of those, they're living amongst, they're not separated from them. It's their day-to-day lives. They're spending their waking hours working hard with families and children to just bring about whatever amount of change that they can. For me, I see those missionaries as living out not just the call as a Christian. They're being they're in communion with the global Christian community. They are bringing material need. They're bringing spiritual need. It's just extraordinary what they are doing. I'm thinking in particular maybe the likes of Father Shea in the Philippines, who spends his, I think he's there 40 years, and he spends his waking time rescuing children from paedophilia, from the sex industry, and from all sorts of abuse. And he spends his time creating an environment where children can be happy, where children can actually be innocent, and children can be free. You know, it's just an extraordinary achievement that he's doing out there endlessly. Sister Evelyn Flanagan is working again with children in the archipelago region of the Philippines. And, you know, it's sad to hear that there's a group of people in the archipelago called the Bajio people, which literally means people of no value.
Really?
Yeah. And Sister Evelyn Flanagan is working out there, and formerly with a lay Redemptress, Father Frankie. And she's been out there since around 1997. And she's working with people again that are ostracised, impoverished. You know, they don't even have death certificates that allow them to be recognised as Filipinos. And in her work with Father Frankie, they've turned that around. They've introduced and created 140 houses with families living in all of those houses. They've introduced a health clinic. They've introduced an education centre, the Nanonagel Health Centres.
That's lovely, yeah.
And they've managed today to have some of the children that are living in those conditions go on to third level education to become graduates and postgraduates in criminology and in, you know, a number of different aspects. So there are the good news stories out there.
Yeah.
But you're talking about these missionaries giving
everything.
24/7, everything.
Everything of themselves, yeah. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that? Or is there a website that they can log on to about to find out more about your work?
They can indeed. World Missions Ireland itself has a website, www.wmi.ie.
Okay.
The Society of Missionary Children itself, Children Helping Children, we're on Facebook.
Okay.
We're also on Twitter as Missio Children. And they can get in touch with me directly at Julianne@wmi.ie, and that's Julianann at wmi.ie.
Okay, well, we'll put up some links on our own social media pages. I'm sure we'll be chatting to you again as a local girl. You won't forget us when you're heading abroad on your first trip. Maybe you'll kind of come in and chat to us, or and if you've stuff coming up later in the year, we'd love to hear from you. Listen, best of luck with the new role, and Julianne Moore, National Secretary of Missionary Children, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Brenda. Thanks for having me.